Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stacey, not just in London. I believe she's taken up residence there. She's been in London for some time. Sure, your body clock's all set for the big match come Sunday, Stacey. How are you?
Good. Good morning to you guys, or afternoon. It's 3 o'clock here, so we're 6 hours ahead. It's been a good trip so far. It did take me a little longer to adjust, but we're looking forward to a, you know, hopefully good game. The Bears are playing pretty good football right now. Offensively is where we kind of all had our eyes and our target. And, you know, it's interesting to be in production meetings with the Bears. We'll have the Jags tomorrow, who are coming off their first win, and hopefully they can give us a good game.
So you've been there a while. You are an experienced traveler. So in that context, Stacey, how do you think the delay in the Jaguars travel experience, waiting until today to arrive because of the Hurricane Milton and other factors, but they did decide to delay their departure, will that have any effect on the game, do you think?
Well, this is what they typically do. As you guys know, the Jaguars are not unfamiliar with this trip. They've done it a lot. This will be Trevor Lawrence's fifth start, which is tied for the most all-time in London alongside Blake Bortles. And this was their plan all along. Remember, they play next week against the Patriots. So they knew it was going to be a week and a half trip regardless. And I think they tried to keep the schedule that they've typically used in flying Thursday and landing on Friday. I have talked to some Jags personnel here today on the phone, and they said it was really good travel. It was only delayed, you know, a few hours. So, you know, by and large, it shouldn't hinder them too much, given they know what this feels like when you travel a little bit, you know, later in the week. But as you guys know, the Bears traveled on Monday, got here Tuesday, and so they've been, you know, pretty well acclimated to this stage as they put their final touches on practice today. And I'm at their facility right now.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I think it's curious when you kind of read some of the background stories on it, that there is no kind of set proven methodology to getting there early, getting there late, and how it impacts winning. I think that generally speaking, I believe The Athletic did a story that said that the team that gets there first tends to do better, but it's not sort of a lockdown. And as you mentioned, with the Jags in particular, they're so used to going over, and they're staying. They got two games in one trip here, so it's not like they're rushing to get back, and they know they're going to be in London for another week.
Yeah, and I really think, too, it's these games are always early in the season, Molly and Haw, and, like, you know, you're going into week six right now, and you're still figuring out what your identity is, and that goes for both teams. I mean, the Jaguars are coming off their best performance. You know, Trevor Lawrence had short of 400 yards against the Colts. His receiver, Brian Thomas, had a career high in receiving yards, and yet they're giving up a ton of yards through the air defensively. And you know, when you look at the Bears, they're starting to figure things out because, you know, as you know, we spent time with Matt Eberflus, one of the messages early, besides just being patient and letting this thing evolve, and there's a lot that goes to that, is like, take the layups. And he literally told us that in our meetings, if you're Caleb Williams, and he's starting to take the layups. The run game has, you know, been able to operate with a little bit more of a firm pocket. And now you're seeing some of the better throws with a little bit more distance and mustard on them from Caleb. And, you know, it's been some interesting takeaways for me as far as what the messaging has been. One of the big takeaways is how much more dialogue and how much more of a voice Caleb is having with his team and his offense. I mean, it's substantial to me, actually. I mean, they're now kind of holding in practice, after practice meetings as a group in terms of him with Caleb, specifically with Keenan, Rome, and DJ. And you know, and spending some time with DJ, they had to fix some things. You know, it wasn't just the Colts game in week 3. It was really the Houston game, and came out of that sort of with this, you know, transparent, like, honesty check of, you know, we have to figure out how to communicate. And one of Eberflus's messages to Caleb along the way has been, you've got to go to your guys. You are the conductor of this thing, the orchestrator of it. And his voice has come alive. And so you're seeing just a more decisive quarterback. And, you know, there's so many other stories that go to it. But then you go to the Indianapolis game and the gut check they had after that game. And that's when all the accountability conversations came about. I'll go back to you, but if you want me to revisit it with Mercedes Lewis and just how that all unveiled. And now here we are, and gosh, he's coming off a career-high passer rating and threw a couple touchdowns against the Panthers.
This segment with Stacey Dales is brought to you by McGrath Acura in Westmont. When you do the math, you'll choose McGrath. So let's explore that a little bit, Stacey. The more time you spend with Caleb Williams, you've been around this team for a long time, and you've seen his growth. We're seeing what the product on the field, and the biggest thing is that he's protecting the football and also commanding the line of scrimmage. Those are tangible factors. Intangibly, what do you see in the way that he just handles himself, and is he much different than the quarterback who came into camp? Did we lose Stacey?
I don't know if we...
Decisive.
There we go.
There you are. I'm sorry.
You got me?
Yep.
Yeah, he's just a lot more decisive. And I think when you have that, you know, he's not afraid to go out there, as he explained it, and mess up, and he just wants to have fun with it. But he's also just more attuned to the conversations that he's had and the reps they're getting. You know, DJ told us one of his touchdowns, I think it was the post-route on Sunday against the Panthers, they had repped that in practice, and they didn't connect on it. And Caleb was able to come back to him because of their correction during the game and say, we're going there and I'm throwing it, so go. Hmm. And so those conversations are really important. The other thing I think that, as Mercedes Lewis told me, they came out of that. You guys know how bad the Colts game was, where he threw it 52 times. He ran it. They actually ran it a bunch. They had a lot of possession. He was leading the league in pass attempts. One of the things that Mercedes did is he went to Matt Eberflus and he said, you got to coach us. We have to be coached. I'm a 19-year vet in the NFL. And if you can coach me, you got to coach these rookies. Like, there has to be something that shifts. So all the offensive captains went to Flus, and he then said, you guys need to go to Shane Waldron, and you need to tell him this. Well, that was an amazing meeting, and one of the things I discovered is they didn't have a first 15. So they were going in with ideas to start their games, but not really having – I mean, the first 15 to 20 – Kyle Shanahan goes 25, so that's like, you know – priority calls that you can go to that are so scripted and rehearsed. It's very error-free football. Kevin O'Connell does 20 in Minnesota. Well, they've started now doing a first 15, and I think it has brought the offensive line together with the run game, together with, you know, the cohesiveness with the perimeter game. And now you're seeing a little bit more of, I don't know if you guys would agree, a little bit more polish as we enter week 6. Mm-hmm. And I think just that helps with the decisiveness of the quarterback, who has had to learn the speed of the NFL, which is typical for a rookie, and adjust on the fly with 5 seconds at the line of scrimmage. So I just think dialogue has been such a big part of improvement for Chicago offensively. And gosh, you know, the defense is happy about it.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I'm sorry. So you said that they started the season without any plays mapped out for them, like teams have done since, I don't know, Paul Brown. That surprises mm-hmm. me. And they only just started yeah. doing it after the players' meeting we're talking about.
Well, yeah, after the Colts game, it's my understanding yeah. as I talked to Mercedes Lewis that, you know, Shane was more so looking for, like, he had suggestions and, you know, this is new for him too. He's got a rookie quarterback. And so I think, like, what can he handle may have gone into that without necessarily overwhelming. But, you know, I was shocked by it, to be honest with you, Molly. I was really surprised because it's almost vital for so many, you know, for these quarterbacks to have, like Kevin O'Connell calls it a priority call sheet. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't follow it sequentially. Right. So as he explained it to me last week, because I had their game last week, it might be, we're going to go the first, you know, the second, number two and number three on the priority call sheet of 20, and then we're going to jump to 17. And it's all based on down and distance. It's all based on coverage. What coverage are they in? What formation are they in defensively? And now you've repped those things all week, and you give that list to the players, and you can play kind of error-free football because there should be really no mistake made. I mean, that's where you get 11 on the same page. So I don't want to over-dramatize it, but I do think it's interesting, mm-hmm. and I think that it has helped the Bears to be have a little bit more offensive conviction, which has helped their rookie quarterback.
So we're not going to over-dramatize it, but I do think it's interesting. And I wonder, learning mm-hmm. that, discovering that this week as you're around the team, does it give you more or less confidence in Shane Waldron? Because that seems to be something that you would come into the season already doing, but the fact that he pivoted gives you confidence that he can adjust.
And more, absolutely more. Mercedes, my takeaway, it was such a productive meeting. Because, you know, you have the four captains offensively. Forget the defense for a second. You have Caleb Williams, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, and Mercedes Lewis. Having this really accepting, that was the word he used, accepting conversation of like, oh yeah, I like that. I like that. Okay, I accept that. I accept this. A lot of accountability. How can we, how can we be solution oriented? And so, when you're able to have those conversations, and that's why Mercedes, like if you're wondering if you're a Bears fan listening right now, like why is he on, he doesn't play a whole lot. Well, he's basically another coach who's been around a bevy of quarterbacks, and he's one of the smartest people I've ever talked to, you know, in life. So I just think for him to start all this with going to Fluce and then, you know, and what would you do, right? You got a rookie quarterback. Do you think Caleb was ready to go in week two and be like, you know, he knows that he has a lot to learn. He told us that. He's like, he's got a ways to go in terms of his knowledge of this thing we call the NFL. But I really think it was productive. I think Shane probably was trying to figure out, like, how to coach the rookie phenom, right? Like, so I think that, you know, there was some gray area on both sides, and now you come together and there's a little bit more clarity in the middle, which is, I think, why we're seeing some improvements offensively and more complementary football with the running backs involved.
I think we need to chat about this for a second. I think that people need to understand, listeners need to understand that scripted plays, it's not like you run your first 15 plays, as you're talking about with
yes.
Kevin O'Connell. What you do is you have the word that it was used to me is probing, mm-hmm. probing plays. So in other words, mm-hmm. you have plays that you've practiced depending on the formation, depending on your how you want to present a play, and you can change it based on personnel groupings, etc. But you want to mm-hmm. see how teams are reacting when you do this, do that, and get a feel for whatever their adjustments are going to be. So you're probing them with practice plays that you're using, and you need mm-hmm. a list of you know, most teams have at least 15 of them. I just find that incredible, even if you don't know what the yeah. quarterback knows, that you wouldn't have a certain group of plays put in for every game based on what a guy is comfortable with, what they're going to, and that you wouldn't be prepared to use that to open a game. I don't care what a guy knows or doesn't know. It's just, it's yeah. almost like it's almost done everywhere in the league.
Yeah, I would love some time to follow up and talk to Coach Waldron about that. I think everybody wanted it. Caleb wanted it. They wanted a vision for the especially a comfort level to start a game. And again, this was just my conversation with Mercedes. I would like to do more follow up with it, but it's because it's hard to know. I can't sit here and say, well, if you're telling me they didn't have a first 15, that was very surprising. And they wanted more of a run game, and they wanted. So what it's done is it's again, my understanding, they started doing it with the Rams game. And like he said, it felt really good. Like it felt really good. It felt you're watching this thing unfold, and it just felt very they knew
professional.
They knew the call. Like the way they do it in Minnesota, as Aaron Jones described it to me, is they are so detailed with theirs. They're like, Kevin has a priority call sheet, which is like, it's like an 8x11 size. And then he's got the big sheet. So when you're watching a game on TV and you see the coach cover up their mouth, right? Well, they can cover it up with a big, huge call sheet, or it's a small one. Well, when you see the small one or the half size one, that's where they're really going to. Those are the calls, like Aaron said, Jones said to me, they're repping those Wednesday, those special plays that they just know are their bread and butter. And every coach uses them differently. Kyle Shanahan, like I said, he's got a lot of them. Sam Darnold told me he's got like 25. But yeah, I'm just curious to know like why that wasn't happening in the first 3 weeks. I think, you know, I need to go back and look into my notes a little bit too, but like Shane had suggestions, but I'm not quite sure that they knew what could be handled. But again, I need to be able to talk to him to comment on that.
That's a good way to approach it, because you have to wonder, A, did that happen in Seattle? B, did they not do that here because of a rookie quarterback and the fear of giving him too much too soon? Because C, Stacey, it seems like it'd be negligent not to come into a season or any game without that kind of scripted plan, scripted in quotes. But you would think that just any professional offensive coordinator in today's day and age would be more prepared than that, than it makes it sound like the Bears were.
I don't think this is we're not prepared, David. Okay. I don't believe that to be the case. I believe this is, I mean, you got the first overall draft pick, and I think this whole first 5 weeks of the season, the first quarter, I'll say, like unbelievable deep dive into figuring out what everybody likes and how this thing's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we can sit here and say, well, what's going on in Washington with Jaden Daniels and this and that? I can't answer that. I'm not there. But this is an entirely different quarterback, entirely different offense. And struggles. And then what do we want? Well, we've seen momentary football. I still think it's probably going to be more pass-driven offensively. But just think that things is they are so committed out, like truly, that this was what can we do to kind of get a gauge for where he's at and what he's learning.
Yep.
And because he knows the offense, but now it's about like taking the layups and then.
Stacy, thank you. That is amazing stuff. Really appreciate all the insight.
Losing the connection, but you did a great job. Thank you so much for giving us that insight and that information.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.